Hi, you are listening to The Workplace Leader. This is the podcast where we go behind the scenes of corporate real estate, talking to industry experts about how they shape the next generation workplace. I'm your host, Sabine M., and in today's episode, I'm speaking with Agne Zermaite. Agne is a workplace consultant at Colliers. Hi, everyone. I'm today with Agne Zermaite. We met, I think, a couple of months ago. At the time, she was still working for Danske Bank, and we talked about, I think, future of work and how COVID changed the situation. Today, she works for Colliers, and I'm very happy that she's joining us because she just moved apartments as well. So stressful times, especially during COVID. So hi, Agne.
Hi. Thanks for having me here.
Can you tell us what your new role is?
Sure. Well, I'm a workplace advisor. Together with a team, I help organizations to rethink the way they work and develop new work and office concepts that impact organizational goals, productivity, and engagement of employees.
Now, I know that you have a really interesting professional background because you are an anthropologist.
That's right. Well, to be honest, quite some of my colleagues find it interesting that I have a master's degree in applied cultural analysis.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that it has certainly enabled my deeper understanding of different humans and individual contexts. So what they do is I combine ethnographic toolbox that includes interview, focus group, and observation with quantitative methods, you know, like survey and utilization data to reveal patterns for strategic decisions that create value. So basically, my role is to understand end users of space, which is the key ingredient in helping organizations to optimize the experience they provide and hence attract and retain talent. So previous to Colliers, I worked as a workplace researcher in an internal workplace team at Danske Bank. And my role was to design and implement usability and quality evaluation framework for different aspects of the bank premises, office space, work environment, facility service concept, etc. In other words, I was responsible for data collection through the most suitable research methods, analyzing it and identifying key insights about improvement areas. To be fair, it was an interesting journey to experiment in.
Definitely, it sounds like it. And I know you have a couple of more interesting steps in your career that I'll come back to later. But what I'd be interested in now as well is you've switched from the occupier side, from Danske Bank, to becoming a workplace consultants. So where do you think you benefit from having these both viewpoints?
Well, that's an interesting question. Honestly, I think it gives me a lot. On the occupier side, I was able to observe and participate in a workplace project from the initiation to the execution, and even after it, to evaluate its impact, success, and perhaps necessary improvements. So basically the full cycle. It's given me a unique opportunity to understand the context for success or failure. And of course, while being on the service provider side, an internal organizational context is not as visible. What it does, it helps me to stay independent and unbiased. Also, I'm exposed to more projects and more companies at once. That translates to a broader understanding of market trends. So I think the combination of both is incredibly beneficial to me as a specialist. I mean, to understand both sides.
And who are your typical stakeholders then right now?
Well, right now, that would be the companies that strategize and are working towards transforming their entire offices before people start coming back. And also companies that are developing new concepts and areas. What the former organizations are doing is evaluating what the right size of the office is and creating new experiences for people who are returning to their workplace. So I believe that it's essential to reduce the risk of people falling back into their old habits and behaviors, and this is also one of their goals as well. Other organizations decide not to change the office characteristic and design, but what they do instead is they create pilot areas or buildings to test new workplace solutions. So the ambition is to move different teams into the pilot areas, measure the experience and impact on performance, then use their learnings to further develop the future workplace strategy, followed by perhaps wider implementation. So it is definitely an exciting time to be in a workplace advisory, especially when the future of office is such a hot topic now. Then companies are genuinely investing time in creating concepts, well, important concepts that could manifest their culture and organizational goals. And then more and more project teams have what we call key enablers, and both are real estate, HR, and IT. And with them on board, you can call it a good start. So it's a good team to work together to create and cater for the main stakeholders, the end users of space, the everyday users, to make them feel good there and to feel supported throughout the day.
Yeah, you said it's interesting times now, because now you can really shape something and make a difference. There's this quote that I really like that says, "The future is a continuation of the past modified in the present." So it's really up on us to do something. And it's never been more graspable than right now that we can really change if we want to.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, you changed very recently. You moved countries, houses, employer. I'm not sure if you can already tell me what the most common workplace configuration at Colliers is.
This is a great question. I'm curious to find it out myself. I haven't been in Colliers office as I joined recently. Well, in general, I haven't been in any office since last summer. So, well, nevertheless, from what I remember office to be like, I mostly miss human connection. I think in this regard, I'm very aligned with different research data, which shows that everything that people miss about the office is related to interaction and connection. I miss meeting my colleagues in 3D, having great lunch conversation, brainstorming sessions, but also I miss an ergonomic space to do my individual work. So I guess I miss the right mixture of things that works for me.
Earlier, I was making a coffee. I was like, it's really sad if you always make the coffee on your own and then you drink the coffee while you work and nobody's here. But let's not go there. Now, you have this background in anthropology. So you should have, or I actually do think you have, a deep understanding of workplace experience and humans interacting in the office space. Do you think there are certain drivers for workplace satisfaction that companies could tap into?
I think so. I believe that it's, again, a combination of drivers that makes office a human-centric workplace. It's a dedication to trust, joy, safety, well-being, and overall experience. You know, all these elements that manifest the culture of an organization. While data-driven insights can guide to the right workplace settings for different activities, right decisions.
And do you feel that companies are tapping into these insights to influence the decisions that they make?
I would say so. Well, it is important to stop to think what the organizational drivers are, what the current culture is. Do we want to support it or to lead it towards a change? You know, all those questions are crucial to reflect upon before jumping into creating floor plans and choosing pretty design. So it's worth to hold on and make sure that input from business is heard, to make sure that community is heard.
Have you seen a change then throughout last year in that regard, that this has been more important even?
Kind of. I think common themes remain. Nevertheless, working from home experience accelerated the transformation of offices to become places that charge collaboration and innovation. And I think taking this into account together with people's desire to work from home, the office of the future will have a primary focus on enabling connection and collaboration there still will be demand to do individual focused work at the office, it will be even more important to offer people choice. And also it is expected that organizations will invest more in the quality of office, create less dense environments and with more community spaces.
I think less dense spaces and then also less spaces maybe in general, consolidating at certain hubs and being more mindful with the resources that are actually used.
Yeah, I think it's a very interesting topic and definitely, you know, there is no one size fits all. So it's important to ask those questions to make sure that you are cooking a right recipe for your organization, not just a recipe.
Yeah, I think that the recipe analogy is really, really great because I don't feel that there's going to be one answer to what the future of work is, but every organization will have to find their secret ingredients for their ideal recipe to cook up the workplace that's right for the company.
I could not agree more.
You mentioned earlier that you're heavily relying on evidence-based analysis of space needs. Are there certain methodologies that you use? And also, it's a question that I ask actually often, how should workplace success be measured?
Yeah, that's a good one. And it's a very broad question. Well, in our approach in careers, the process is built around a couple of phases. We start with envisioning together the senior leader, defining the impact of strategic goals and portfolio on portfolio location, building and workplace characteristics. That's then the quantitative and qualitative analysis of the businesses conducted. And the exact activities very much depend on the scope. And to measure the success, it is important to look into more than one data set of data. Let's say productivity, attendance, and satisfaction will give you different insights. And by putting those together, one will be able to understand the broader picture.
Absolutely. That's what I see as well, that there's going to be this triangulation of information that you have to look at to get direction. Now, if you look at that, what do you think are the biggest challenges that will prevent companies from achieving their goals? You probably experienced it while you were on the occupier side yourself, that there's always roadblockers.
I would say these are risk-averse, safe ideas and decisions. Like, of course, one needs to have data for informed decision-making, but there is a risk to focus on collecting data instead of making sense of it. As my colleague once has wisely said, it's very unlikely you will have all the possible data. And if you have it already, it's probably too late to make it actionable, to take an innovative, proactive decision. It will be a reaction by when you have it all. So I guess there will always be some uncertainty left, which can be filled with collective industry knowledge, trends. I think it can be very beneficial to have external consultants to help organizations to make sense of their data, to draw patterns.
Do you think that benchmarking is going to be something that companies are reverting to more?
I think it is important to seek for some benchmarking. It definitely can help. But I would also say that it's important to have internal benchmarks as well. So for sure, I'm a big fan of comparisons and benchmarking, but I think it can't be the only thing. It just helps to kind of feel the direction.
To give you a frame.
Absolutely, yeah.
And feel what others, sometimes it helps to see what others are doing and then to have an opinion about it before implementing it for yourself. And in regards to benchmark, which is actually a nice segue, you're a Leesman advanced practitioner and Leesman does put out this amazing benchmark on workplace satisfaction, employee satisfaction. Can you share a bit of your work there and maybe if there are some surprising findings that you came across?
Yeah, I think there were quite a few, but perhaps the most eye-opening to me was this myth-busting about differences between generations, like millennials being the most demanding in the workforce and so on. Well, data shows the opposite. It's easier to meet younger employees' expectations than older ones. And it is mostly related to the role complexity and seniority than age itself. most of the millennials are in the beginning of their careers. They do not juggle between many responsibilities and activities during the day. Hence, a basic setup can work quite well for them, while their senior colleagues, in the contrary, have many different activities to perform, and a single desk solution in an open plan is not enough for them. They need additional spaces to support them. So that was very interesting for me to see that, you know, in a data sheet.
That our prejudice that the younger generation would be high demanding was not real at all. I have to say one thing that I found really surprising when I looked at a Leesman study was as well that there's no, maybe it's not that surprising really, but there's not necessarily a correlation between space density and employee satisfaction, for example, because there is different levels of acceptance towards it in different cultures. So in Asia, for example, people don't have or used to have no problem with spaces being dense. I mean, now with safe measures and distance and stuff, it's a different question. But that's something that probably, going back to the recipe, again, one recipe is not going to be the right one for everybody.
Right. And also it's amazing to see the confirmation that coffee and tea and hot beverages definitely is a super driver and very important to have in an office.
Yeah, I love this super driver concept because I think the hot drinks you mentioned were one super driver. And then the other super driver that I found super surprising was that it was toilets.
Yeah, but, you know, when you think about it, it's not surprising, right? I mean, you go there. Yeah, right. Or not. You use it.
True. And you spend some time there over the years, let's say it like that. And you do want them to be hygienic. And
that's right. But of course, when you see it in the spreadsheet and as a result of your company, a good health check to do that.
Yeah, yeah, true. I mean, it's always good to find these points where you can do better, if you can do better. I mean, if you've leased a building and the toilets are where they are, then there's not much you can do.
Well, you can still put some music on there. That helps.
You think that will help?
Yeah, we tried that in my previous job. Again, it was a leased building we were planning to lease. So there was no plan to invest heavily. And the surveys show that people are not happy with the toilet. The main reason, because I investigated it further, was that the walls are very like thin between the toilets, and it doesn't feel like you have privacy. So it just didn't feel right. So we installed the music like stereo in the toilets, and it helped the experience.
Oh, really?
As a temporary solution.
I never thought about that. The music would help with the noise situation, because we used to be in a co-working with our company, and there was also always music on the toilet, and I always found that weird. I was like, why is there music playing? And then, because always when I came back, I had the music in my head, and I was like, damn it. But okay, that makes sense.
It improves the experience. I'm not sure if that takes any, you know, of the problems away, but just boosts the energy, the mood.
We're so funny as humans, how we can be manipulated through little things. I mean, retail's using music as well, right? And sometimes I go into a shop and then there's music and I'm like, no, not here, I'm going. Okay, let's come back to the real estate world and move away from toilets and retail. Who do you consult with as well and trust for advice related to corporate real estate in the workplace? Because I guess you came from being an anthropologist into the world of real estate, so you need to pick up certain things along the way.
That's very well spotted. And right now, I just feel very lucky to work with a team with diverse knowledge and experience and industry experience. So it gives a lot of confidence to me. Also, I still see that as a benefit of having a bit of a different approach, and I try to keep on having that. So I'm a member of Anthropologists in Business community, where I get inspiration for new ideas or how to apply them. So I think this knowledge coming from different industries and businesses broadens my point of view. I think it's healthy to look beyond the industry you are in. It can give great insight.
Yeah, and I have to say, especially in corporate real estate, there is a lot of people who come from other areas that just generally serve humans. Now, besides the music that we'll have throughout the facilities, what do you think the future workplace environment will look like?
Well, I can't wait to work with some of the future workplace pilots. As yeah. we talked earlier, I hope it will be more human-centric and it will help to build community, network, amplify like people experience. And I'm sure it will be a journey of trial and error. It won't happen overnight.
That's for sure, especially as the piloting are kind of restricted currently still through people not being able to come to the office. Is there certain things that you personally would like to see in the office or that you've seen in one of your past offices that you liked a lot and would like to have replicated?
I think always the green space, gardens, terraces, mm-hmm. rooftops, something like that, the courtyards. It's a very nice to have things in the office, especially in an urban environment.
Absolutely. I'm also a huge fan of having outdoor areas, or at least a view. I know the co-working that I mentioned earlier with the music on the restrooms, the space that we had huge windows, but they looked into a super small courtyard where there were no plants, and you were just looking at a black glass facade, and the whole day you didn't see sunlight or anything. So that was not so nice.
Absolutely. I agree. The greenery, the view is very important for me. Like now it's my second day in a self-quarantine when I arrived to London. And I already rearranged the furniture in my hotel room because the desk was facing the wall. And I can't sit 5 days in a row looking into wall. So I rearranged it to have a view in the street, in the garden.
Having a view, I think, is a quite important thing. And I also think if you look at utilization data and observational data, if you have workplaces that are on the inner parts of an office and don't have direct access to a window, they tend to be less occupied or at least less favored if there is high occupation and people don't like to sit there. And I think the same was found as well for having plants within the office, so that people preferred areas with green plants closer to it because it was more lively.
Mm, I could relate to that myself very much.
This question I really like a lot. If you could magically solve any real estate problem, what would it be?
I would love to bring some speed. I mean, like instant pulse for workplace to help improve not on quarterly or half a year iteration, but quicker. To measure the impact of some new features instantly. I think that would be just great.
I think you'd have a lot of people who would buy that from you if you had that a tool to do so, to predict.
Something to develop.
Yeah, or if you had the crystal ball to tell them what the future would be like, you'd be a rock star workplace consultant. I'm coming back to the anthropology because that fascinates me so much. How do you tell your family and friends what you do?
To be fair, I think I struggle to explain it. I need to create some elevator pitch, I think. So what I do usually, I try to give an example of some project if there is time for a discussion. That helps.
I have a final question. Which is, who else would you like to hear on the podcast and what would you like to ask them?
Well, as I mentioned before, I find it insightful to talk with experts from different industries. Yeah, sometimes it just brings fresh perspective. So I would be curious to listen to a podcast with organizational psychologists, for example, how to make the future office experience more inclusive. As I find it another topic that fascinates me, inclusivity and diversity.
And a topic that becomes increasingly important with the situation that we are in. Yes, I'd like that. I need to identify a psychologist because I can't call mine for that.
Yes, it needs to be an organizational one, I guess, to have a broader.
So thank you very much, Agne. I enjoyed this conversation. Thanks for listening. If you have enjoyed this episode of The Workplace Leader, there's more. Go visit our blog and have a look at some of the other topics we have covered. We have just released a study on corporate real estate in Europe that you can download. Or tune into our next episode of
the workplace leader.